I'm Kanan, I'm from Trinity College in Dublin, Ireland. And I'm going to be presenting our preliminary work on processing yup and other short utterances in interactive speech. So I should start from the outset by saying that this is predominantly the work of Professor Campbell, who couldn't be here. I'll repeat that. But also involved in the work was Helena Munitz, who visited us in Trinity for a month last summer to work on the corpus. So we're interested in spoken conversation. We're interested in looking at describing, characterising, modelling, and ultimately synthesising spoken conversation. Probably the most striking aspect of spoken conversation is that it's massively interactive. So if you have two people, say, having a conversation, it could be that one person is doing most of the talking, which happens quite a lot. Perhaps it's somebody talking about an issue they had at work during the week to a friend. Even though one person is doing most of the talking, the interaction is still massively interactive, and the other participant would be providing constant feedback to the main speaker about whether they understand, if something needs to be repeated, if they need to go faster, provide background information, this sort of thing. And spoken conversation is starkly contrasted to the type of monologue speech you get in news broadcasts, lectures, or, well, talks like this. In spoken interaction, meaning is built up adaptively and collaboratively. So rather than being a kind of a linear portrayal of information, it's rather a trajectory that goes forwards and back and forth and even off on tangents. And if you look at any spoken interaction data, what is very apparent from it is that there's a very high frequency of short utterances. And short utterances have a function in spoken conversation which is disproportionate to their length. So they're very, very useful and very important in managing spoken discourse. So you have here a graph of a telephone conversation. So each of the panels correspond to each of the speakers. And the x-axis is time, and the y-axis is a plot of speech density in 10-second frames. So speech density here is a measure of talking time per frame length. And in this conversation, the top speaker is doing what you believe to be most of the talking. And you can see a high frequency of both long and short utterances here. The second speaker, even though they're not using as many long utterances, they're still very active in terms of the amount of short utterances they use. So both partners are highly active. The number of short utterances is extremely high. And if you look at the transcription of these utterances, the linguistic content is really very repetitive, and the variation is only quite minimal. But of course, when we're engaging in spoken conversation, if we're not using linguistic content as a tool, we have to use some other tool to provide differentiation to the speaker, and hence the importance of prosody and voice quality or vocal timbre. So just to illustrate this a little bit, I'm going to play a sequence of short utterances from a single male speaker from the D64 corpus, which I'll describe in a few minutes. So I'll just play that first. Just kind of what I want to show from that is just that I'm sure just by listening to them you can hear that in a spoken conversation those different same linguistic units have very different pragmatic functions in the spoken discourse, and the tool that that we believe provides this sort of differentiation, well, a lot of it is the prosody and voice quality, which I think you could hear in some of those short utterances. One of the corpora that Professor Campbell worked on was the expressive speech processing corpus, which was 1,500 hours of interactive speech recorded in Japan between 2000 and 2005 or 6. And 100 of the most common words made up, like single words, made up more than half of the total utterance count. And these single words came in a diverse range of prosodic conditions, portraying entirely different messages. So one of the examples that Professor Campbell sometimes gives is the word homa, which is an Osaka dialect of a word which roughly translates as really in English. And annotators of the corpus annotated 20 different, at least 20 different pragmatic functions of that single word. Again, prosody and voice quality essential in providing the differentiation in the spoken conversation. Just a final graph, just to illustrate the frequency of short utterances, also in larger party conversations. We have a graph here from the free talk corpus. So there's five speakers involved in the conversation. Each of the different colours represents different speakers, and the length of the bar represents the length of the utterance. And again, if you look to this, there's a high frequency of short utterances, sometimes by a single speaker, and sometimes by more than one at the same time. Okay, so this brings us on to the corpus looked at in the current study. So in 2010, the D64 corpus was recorded in an apartment in Dublin. And the goal of the corpus was to richly record highly naturalistic spoken conversation data. So there was 12 audio lines, 5 HD cameras, 2 360 degree videos, and 6 OptiTrack motion capture. And there was 5 participants, 3 male and 2 female. The social interaction was completely unstructured and unscripted, and there was no particular conversation goal, and for this reason the topics varied very widely. So there was 4 sessions over 2 days, and in the current study we look at the first 2 sessions. The first session I don't think even was meant to be recorded, but the 3 male speakers in the room at the time all had headset mics on. And there was only a short amount of time before the other 2 female participants arrived, and because of problems with Cubase and other technical issues, it led for a noticeably tense and stressful environment, and this is very apparent from the speech data when you listen to it afterwards. The second session was where the two female participants arrived was a much more relaxed kind of people were sitting down, drinking cups of coffee and talking a little bit about themselves. And so the two sessions were starkly contrasted in terms in this regard. I should state that only one of the female speakers is included in the analysis in the current work. So when Helena Munitz was over with us last summer, she annotated 12 different, she used 12 different annotation labels for the short utterances in these 2 sessions. So I'm not going to go through all of them, but just to highlight the most frequent ones. So back channels were clearly the most frequent. So back channels is kind of feedback that a speaker might be given, like yeah, really, okay, right. Also very common were filled pauses, so like like these sort of things. Also grunts, interjections, and repetitions were quite frequent. So we carried out some prosodic analysis on these short utterances, and we measured fundamental frequency, mean, max, min, and position of peak, so the percentage location of the peak in the utterance. Power, the same measures. We used 2 very crude voice quality measures, the difference between the first 2 harmonics of the speech spectrum and the difference between the first harmonic and the harmonic, biggest harmonic in the third formant region. And we also measured duration. So we then carried out principal component analysis, and that showed the first loading to be dominated by power values, the second to be dominated by F0 values, and the third to be dominated by both voice quality and duration values. So this kind of suggested an independence of these groups. And the first 5 loadings accounted for 70% of the variance. We wanted to look further at the voice quality involved in this. So we wanted to look at voice qualities across the breathy to tense dimension. So as phonation mode or mode of vocal flow vibration is critical to these voice qualities, I've shown here a kind of image of the larynx taken from above and the 3 main muscular tensions highlighted. So in a breathy voice quality, when the vocal folds are vibrating, you have these low levels of tension, particularly low adductive tension. So this means that there's not complete glottal closure, and you get this chink at the posterior end of the vocal folds that allows a jet of turbulent air to pass through the vocal folds, and this is a main contributor to the sort of breathy perceptual quality. Tense voice quality at the other end of the spectrum, you've high levels of the 3 main laryngeal tensions producing a tenser voice quality. So we wanted to use some acoustic measures to measure these physiological occurrences. So we used a three-step method. First, we measured glottal closure instances using the SPS method. So glottal closure instance corresponds to the moment where the vocal folds come together. We used an inverse filtering method. So inverse filtering is basically attempting to remove the contribution of the vocal tract from the speech signal, giving an estimate of the glottal source signal or the sound source created by the vocal folds of the larynx. So we used the iterative adaptive inverse filtering method described by Alku. I won't go through the block diagram, but just that the method attempts to compensate for the spectral roll-off of the voice source signal and use LBC analysis to try and get an all-pole model of the vocal tract transfer function. So this is done in a couple of iterations, and the output is an estimate of the glottal source signal. So then with this output signal, we used these glottal gradients described by Lugar and Yang in 2006, which is kind of follow-on work from Stevens and Hansen. The reason for using these glottal gradients was they were described in previous work to be useful even in less than ideal recording conditions, which inevitably happen when you're dealing with kind of interactive speech like this. Also, we chose the two glottal gradients that, from our own work on carefully controlled data, show the best differentiation of voice qualities across the breathy to tense dimension. So, just highlighted here are the two glottal gradients. We've GOG glottal opening gradient and RCG rate of closure gradient. I won't just describe these any further, but just to state that low levels of these two values suggest tenser voice qualities, and higher levels suggest breathier voice qualities. Okay, so we carried out this we analysed the short utterances using this method. And I should have mentioned earlier that in the annotation there was also annotation of overlapping and non-overlapping segments. So we found that RCG values were significantly lower. This is taking all four speakers, and there was lower GOG values. This trend was also seen in each of the speakers individually. For comparing session one to session two, we only used the three male speakers because one of the females wasn't present in the first. We found lower RCG and lower GRG values, but when we looked at the speakers individually, two of the male speakers showed significantly lower RCG values, whereas another one of the male speakers showed significantly higher RCG values. So this was a little bit peculiar. So how we interpret this? Well, we interpret this as a tenser overall voice quality in the first session and during overlapping speech. So this is reasonably intuitive. Perhaps in overlapping speech, a tenser voice quality could be a mechanism for competing for a turn. Also, as I stated at the beginning, this kind of more stressful first session may have led to an overall tenser vocal productions by the participants. The one participant who showed opposite trends across sessions, we spoke to afterwards, and he actually described the first session as an environment he's more comfortable in, equipment setup. Some people can find it to be more comfortable and didn't feel the stress that the others did. Whereas the kind of get-to-know-you session can actually be very socially awkward for some people, and he admitted to this in the second session. So overall, the kind of take-home message is that short utterances vary substantially in terms of prosody and voice quality in spoken conversation. Traditional speech recognition systems don't take account of these these aspects of speech. And if we want to properly model the type of naturalistic speech we have in spoken conversation, then we feel that these aspects need to be taken account of. So just finally, to state what we're doing with this, we currently have an exhibition in the Science Gallery in Trinity College, where Hermy the robot is a Lego robot with both audio and visual recordings. It basically tracks people's faces and walks around to them and strikes up a conversation. So we're using this for data collection on spoken conversation and short utterances, and it also allows a platform for testing our hypotheses about short utterances. Nick Campbell and I are both funded by SFI, and Helena Munitz was supported by FCT grant in Lisbon. And that's it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, John. So we again have time for two questions. Maybe I'll start with there is one, Julia.
Oh, thank you. Is it on? Is it on? Okay. Yeah. I just missed something, but were you trying to differentiate among the different types of short utterances that you have labeled, or?
That was done in the annotation, but we didn't match that to the acoustics in the description here. But that would be something that Professor Campbell is interested in.
And yeah, I mean,
I think he's even done work along those lines with some of the measurements we've used. But I didn't. That wasn't in the description. Okay. I don't have the data ready.
Okay.
Sorry. So, well, here's my very similar question as before, and a very practical one again. What about the D64 corpus?
What do you mean?
Will it be accessible, or how?
Maybe Jens, you might know a little bit better than me on this, but what I think is the truth is that Professor Campbell said that he does want other people to be using it. I think he wanted a system that any annotations that people would do would be contributed back into the overall project. But if you contact him at nick@tcd.ie, he's definitely open to sharing this around.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much, John.
Thanks.